This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Let me pray for us. Father, thank you that U ons God is, that U met ons is. Thank you that U ons koning is. Thank you that U groot is, Here. Thank you that U, Here, levendig is, werkelijk waar opgestaan het, dat U in ons midden is, Here, en dat U as die Ewige God, die skepper van hemel en aarde, dat U binnen ons woon, Here, dat U gekies het om het goed te dink om binnen die harte van mense te kom woon, met U heiligheid en met U almag. En Lord, we stand humbled before You, Lord, this morning. We thank You for the blood of Jesus that makes so much of what we take for granted possible. That we are not without hope this morning, that we are not strangers to grace. That grace has washed over us, and that grace continues to wash over us every day. Thank You for hope that we have, Lord, that one day every tear will be wiped away, every broken body will be healed. One day, Lord, we will see You face to face. We will be changed, and we will be like You, and we will know You the way that You know us. And we thank You that this side of eternity, You've given us Your Spirit, and that You, in spite of our distractions, in spite of the cares of this world, in spite of our weaknesses, that You delight in us, and You show us Your face. In moments like this, Lord, we love You, and we honor You, in Jesus' name. We had the privilege, Nikki and myself, to travel to Oudtshoorn this past week, and it was an amazing experience. Annika played her first netball tournament, and we said that we're going to go with her. Right? We're going to be those parents. Then I was teaching at Paul Roos, I made some vows to myself that I will never be those parents. You know, those that are always like everywhere, can't let go of their kids. And but she's only 11, so we can still be those parents and probably be those parents till she's 31 or whatever. But yeah, and so you've got to let your little girl go, and she travels by bus, and we travel by car. And but a couple of weeks ago, I got a WhatsApp from a friend of ours who's living just outside Oudtshoorn, and he asked me how we're doing. He misses us, and started a conversation. We were the very same day talking about where we're going to stay, and so it was sort of a divine setup, and so we decided we're going to stay with them on the farm. And then a couple of days later, he contacts me, and he asks me whether I would consider joining them for a day of prayer for rain. They haven't had rain, good rains, for 3 years. The last little bit of rain they had was around about March or so. And but so the idea was to go for 3 or 4 days and just chill underneath the radar, just relax. And but then this opportunity came along, and of course it's a wonderful opportunity, and I felt what the Lord said. And so we went, left early Thursday morning, and Nee, ek weet nie wat nou aangaan nie. Neem my so 'n oomblik. Ja, is gelukkig gedra, ek sê, is okay. So, Johan's dad had booked the Burger Centrum in Oudtshoorn. Earlier this year, or last year, they had a prayer meeting for rain as well, but it was held at a church, and because it was held at a specific church, nobody went for the prayer meeting. Before that, another prayer meeting was also organized, but it was also held at a specific denomination, and then all of the other churches boycotted the prayer meeting as well. And so this time around, the Lord laid it on this farmer's heart and says, book the civic center, and it's a massive place. And so he stepped out in faith. And Deirdre, if you can show that first picture for us. And there's the result of his faith. I don't know how many, but lots of people came. And most of the farming community were there. There were a couple of the Jewish farmers in Oudtshoorn, and they were there as well. They came, and then there were a few people from the sort of the labor community, farm laborers, they were there as well. And it was amazing. Dit was 'n besonderse bijeenkomst, dit is Afrikaans, so ek lekker in Afrikaans bedien. And the presence of the Lord was really there, and so what we did was I just shared a word. I'm going to share a little bit around that this morning as well, and felt that one of the big obstacles there was the division between the churches. So we had somebody from the NG Church and somebody from the VGK to pray prayers of repentance and forgiveness towards one another, the dominees there, and then one of the farm owners and one of the farm laborers, somebody ministered amongst the farm laborers, also prayed prayers of repentance and forgiveness towards one another. And it was incredible. And so right at the end, as we're finishing off, one woman puts up his hand and he says, ek wil net hoor, voor ons nou klaar maak, ek wil net hoor. So, yo, all right, weet die wat die woman nou gaan sê nie, aan sy kaakies. Is hierdie opgeneem, want allemaal moet dit hoor. And so there was such an encouragement, he drove from far, and it was just amazing to see how the Lord brought that whole group together. And if you can show the next slide. You can't see that probably too clearly, but that's rain that fell the next morning. It's rain. So it rained on Friday. And I want to ask that we pray for Aotearoa and for the farms there because, you know, it's desperate. But the Lord has promised this rain, and I was just overwhelmed that God would answer prayer so quickly. And what I knew and what I know was it wasn't about any one man. So there was so much prayer that went into that, and I asked our leaders here to pray and the intercessors here to pray. If we can go back to the other picture, the first one, just before that. You can't see it, but sort of right towards the right, top right-hand corner of that photo, there are a couple of farm workers sitting there, and you can't really see them because they're sitting there in the shadows. They're dark, so you don't see them there. But I spoke to the person that organized the event, and he said that 2 days before the event, those guys, they came with their oil and they anointed the place. And they prayed. You know, and so God hears prayer. And he hears the desperation of people's hearts. And I'm excited about the rain that's coming for Aotearoa and for that area. And I spoke on God just wanting to soften hearts. And what happens when hearts are softened. And if you go to the picture of the Bible, what's been happening in Aotearoa is that a couple of years ago, when there were droughts up further north in the country, the farmers in Aotearoa who had lucerne, I don't know, is that the English word for lucerne? Lucerne. They blessed the farmers up in the north with the lucerne. And during the prayer meeting, I met the guy who was like coordinating the help that they received from the north, and there were 30,000 tons of mealies that farmers from the north were sending down to the guys in Aotearoa. 30 trokke full van mealies wat hulle afstuur. And that's the barber right there in the middle. Those are the farmers kneeling down, thanking God for the provision that has come. Ons te mooi land, mense, met mooi mense. In spite of wat die duivel doen. It's beautiful things happening in our nation, and it's a privilege to see it, it's a privilege to experience it, it's a privilege to be part of it. And I know that God has a destiny for us as believers, He's got a destiny for us as His church to be part of what God is doing. And I want to encourage you to have your hearts open for great and for amazing things, because there's a sound of the abundance of rain, of God doing beyond what we can ever think possible. And Hebrews 4:11 says the following, let us therefore strive to, I'm going to try and be as short as I can, let us strive to enter into that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. That's from the ESV. Let's be diligent to enter into that rest. It's sort of a weird concept. It says, it speaks about rest on the one hand, then it says be diligent, strive, work hard to enter into that rest. And simply what it means is, Understand that God has got grace available to us. Understand that he has rain available to us. But there is a positioning that needs to take place. There's an ownership that needs to take place. There is a saying yes that needs to take place. To say that, God, I receive your rest. I receive your grace. A friend of mine shared with me, we had a pastor's gathering on Wednesday and Thursday. And he said for the first time this year, he had all his year's holidays planned. Worked out when he's going on leave for the whole year. Because he began to understand the importance of resting well. The importance of planning for it. The importance of actually working towards it. And he understood that there's a place where you have to strive to enter into that rest. In other words, that you have to say yes to the rest. My girls watch this program from time to time. Just every so often, say yes to the dress. It's not often that they watch it. But we've got to say yes to the rest. You've got to say yes to what God has for us. We've got to say yes to the rain. And so the farm where we were staying, the lady is a wonderful artist. She's an incredible artist. And she uses all the wood that isn't used on the farm, broken pieces of wood, and some disfats I stuck out, what van die kleis af, nie kleis, die sluise afkom, wat stikkend is. And so there was, she asked her husband, look, there isn't any leftover wood left, can't just take one of the pieces of wood from the sluice. Where's my English this morning? What's a sluice? Sluice, from the sluice gate. And he said, no, he can't break the sluice gate, the rain is coming. And they need it. And I just love that faith on his side. The rain is coming. I'm not going to break the sluice gates. We need the rain. We need the water to flow into the right direction. And that is what I sense in my heart. The Holy Spirit is wanting to say to us. And that is that there is a place when the Lord speaks to us like he did this morning. There is a place we need to be diligent as to how we respond to the Word of God. God's heart is wide open towards us. He's wanting to bless us. But from our part, there is something inside of us that we need to say, yes, God, that is for me. That rain is for me. That rest is for me. That anchor is for me. That hope is for me. That wisdom is for me. And not to be complacent around it. And Hebrews 4 verse 12 tells us why. It says, for the word of God is living and active and full of power. It says, be diligent to enter into that rest because you are not just dealing with somebody's theory, somebody's principle, somebody's self-help book, how to get a better marriage in 10 days, or how to get a more obedient child in 15 days. You are dealing with the Word of God. For the Word of God is living, it's alive, and it is full of power. It's living, it's alive, it's full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. You are dealing with the Word of God. God speaks to us faithfully, Sunday after Sunday. He speaks to us, and it's not just the word. It is the word of God that is alive, that carries with it its own energy, carries with it its own power. And if we would submit to that word, even as the elements around us have to submit to the word, who knows what can happen? Just as we were praying here in the Western Cape, the Lord began to lay it on my heart to when the clouds appear, to speak to those clouds. And to say to those clouds, clouds, you will not disappear. You will not be blown away until you have deposited what God has put in you to deposit. You will not be stolen. And so on Thursday after we had the prayer meeting, the clouds started together. And I spoke to those clouds. And I know other people did as well. Say, you will not be blown away. You will not just simply be clouds that come to give fake hope. You will deposit what God has destined you to deposit. We need to speak the word of God over our circumstances and over our elements, the things around us, because it's not our words. It's the word of God that is alive and it's powerful. And I want to invite us to open up the totality of our beings to the word of God. That when a word of God is being ministered on a Sunday, to understand, I know that none of you want to come here and simply listen to nice words. I hope that none of you just come out of here or come here just out of habit or because you've always been doing this, you've got nothing else to do. I hope that we come because we are desperate for God's word. And we understand that one word from God can change our lives. So that when the Lord speaks to us, we open up our hearts, we open up our lives, and say, God, here's my life. Here's the ground of my farm. Come and rain upon me. Come and rain upon my mind. Come and rain upon my emotions. Come and rain upon my finances. Flood my life. And I want to remind you very quickly of a few words the Lord spoke over us. Isaiah 43 verse 19. This came out at an intercession meeting. One of the Brahmas still had the word. I'm not sure if it was Dean or Jean. Best of times, I'm unsure. But he had this word while we were praying. He says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." That's the promise of God. He spoke it to us, like, I think, about two months ago. He's doing a new thing. And this morning we heard it again about the boxes being taken off. But then I've got to say, God, I want that new thing. I'm not going to be passive. I'm not going to think the same way. I'm going to challenge the way I think. I'm going to challenge the way I relate to you and I relate to people. You know, it's always fascinating for me walking into an environment like that and having to predominantly minister to Afrikaans-speaking people. And you've got to come against a lot of preconceived ideas very often. You've got to come against a lot of perceptions that people have. And I've got to say to myself, I will not allow myself to be boxed in by what I think you might be thinking. And sometimes what I think you might be thinking might not even be what you are thinking. You understand what I mean? But there are cultural perceptions and things that want to come and box you in. I've got to say, no way, Jose. I'm not going to allow any of those things to box me in, because I'm coming with a mandate from God. I'm coming with a word from God, and I'm going to just deliver the word, and however people respond to that, it's up to them. And always the response is amazing. But that's very often something I've got to challenge myself with, to say, I will not allow any cultural box, whether it's in my mind or in other people's minds, to define the word of God. Because the word of God is beyond boundaries, it's beyond culture, it's beyond circumstances. And we have to be aware of, what is the box that I'm bringing to God's word? Where am I putting God into a little box? Is it my experience? Is it my pain? Is it my cultural background? Is it what other people have said? And bring that to God and say to God, God, if you're going to do a new thing, do it in me. If you're going to do a new thing, don't just do it in my neighbor's life. Don't just do it in my neighbor's business. Don't just do it in the church around the corner. Don't just do it in the other family's life. Do it in mine. I want to experience that new thing. And that is the promise that God has given us. And verse 20 says, the wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. And it's interesting that they mention the jackals and the ostrich, being on the ostrich farm there. The jackals, they pests, they rodents, they cause a lot of damage. We went out on the farm and they showed us the ostriches. There was one actually during the night that was attacked by a couple of jackals, half eaten. They cause a lot of damage. But what's fascinating, yeah, I don't know why Isaiah put them together, but the jackals and the ostriches are put together there, says that even all of those beasts, they will honor me, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people. Right? And so if you are in a wilderness time, in a wilderness experience, God says, don't define your expectation based upon the wilderness. Define it based upon God's word. And I've received so much respect just from farmers. I don't know how you farm without God. I don't know how for 3 years you just stay faithful, you keep on plugging away, and you keep on trusting God that the rain is going to come. That is some serious faith right there. And I want to encourage you to pray for our farming community. We need our farmers. We need the legacy that they bring. We need their hearts to be softened towards one another and towards the farm laborers, and that to continue. We need to pray for our farmers. We need to pray the blood of Jesus over them, protection over them, God's purpose over them, because God has got a destiny for South Africa to be the breadbasket to Africa. Isn't that the word God has spoken over us? And I saw it. I could see it. I could experience it. Guys, I must tell you, there are exciting things happening in our nation and about to break through. Rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. And here's the thing. God has formed you for himself. We're not accidents. We're not trapped in some financial depression. We're not trapped in our emotional depression. God has formed us for himself, and he wants to do that new thing. So, Shofar Summers of the West, God has formed us for himself. For us as a congregation, for us as individuals, it holds true for you if you're visiting as well. God has formed you for himself. But for us as a group of people, God says he has formed this congregation, this group of people, for himself. We belong to him. We've got his stamp upon us. And therefore, we've got his promise that he's about to do something miraculous. He's about to do something beautiful. He's about to do something beyond anything that we can possibly imagine. Water in the wilderness. In the last few weeks, God came and he spoke through different ministers of the gospel. And I just have a sense in my heart, as the steward of this congregation, to remind us of this again. I put it in my mail, but I want to encourage you to go into business with God around this. And God came and he's ministered to us a promise, and he told us he's going to release rivers of hospitality and sharing over us. Rivers. Anton ministered on that. Where we're going to be flooded, and that flood is going to start on the inside with such spontaneous, extravagant hospitality and generosity towards one another, that it's going to be rivers that's going to flow into our community. He's promised us rivers of supernatural kingdom living, where the kingdom of God is at hand, and we can see people healed physically, emotionally, relationally, in every area of their lives. And he's promised us rivers of salvation, promised us that people will come to salvation in this congregation, that people will get saved on a Sunday morning, people will get saved on Wednesdays when we have small group, people will get saved when we have our camps, people will get saved when we come together for coffee. Those are the promises God has given us. But now he's saying to us, we need to be diligent to enter into those promises. We need to position ourselves to say, God, those streams of hospitality and sharing, let it start with me. Those streams of supernatural living, let it start with me. Those streams of just coming together and trusting God for salvation to come, let it start with me. Let me be the conduit. And 1 Kings 18 verse 41 speaks about this. Elijah says to Ahab, and this was the portion of scripture I read very briefly. Elijah comes at the end of his battle with the prophets of Baal. He comes to Ahab, and Ahab is a wimp, right? Ahab is a king that abdicated his authority. He was selfish, he was self-focused, he was apathetic, he didn't take control of his kingdom. He allowed a spirit of manipulation to operate through his wife, Queen Jezebel, and they destroyed the kingdom of Judah. They allowed so much destruction to come in there. And God has got a different plan for us. I quickly want to read this verse. I don't have it on there. I just felt for some of us as guys, just an encouragement. Right? God doesn't want us to live like Ahab. There's this beautiful promise in Isaiah 32 verse 1. Isaiah 32 verse 1 says, "Behold, a king will reign in righteousness," not like Ahab did, "and princes will rule with justice." And then verse 2, such a powerful one, says, "A man will be as a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the storm and rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." And I want to speak this over us as men. Guys, the scripture says a man will be like rivers of water in a dry place. A man. For so long and so often we wait for the woman to tap into what God has. Wait for the woman to pray first. Wait for the woman to go ahead of us in the spirit. But God says that a man will be like a river in the desert. And I believe that God is going to open up fountains in us as men to bring healing to our wives, to our children, and to our colleagues all around us. But that was not the spirit that Ahab had. Ahab had an apathetic spirit, which meant he sat back, he allowed things to happen around him. And Elijah comes to Ahab and says to him, "Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain." This is at the end of 3 years of drought. "Get up, Ahab, get ready, prepare yourself, strengthen yourself, because I hear a sound." And Elijah was the only one that heard that sound. Nobody else had heard that sound. And you know, it's a little bit stepping out there like Desiree did this morning, standing in front of those farmers. Look, you see the desperation, and I say, "Ek hoor die gedruis van die reën. Ek hoor die gedruis van die reën. Maak reg die reën. Die reën is op pad." And that's what I want to say to us as a congregation. I hear the sound of the rushing rains coming. Rains of salvation, rains of supernatural healing, rains of extravagant love in our midst, unlike anything we have seen before. And I know that many of you have been faithful in the drought. Many of you have been praying. Many of you have been standing. Some of you might have retreated a little bit like Ahab did. I want to say to you, go up, eat and drink. In other words, strengthen yourself. Strengthen yourself for your purpose. Strengthen yourself for your calling. Strengthen yourself for your anointing. Strengthen yourself for your destiny, because the rains are coming. The salvations are coming, the healings are coming, the love, the extravagant giving, it's coming, it's on its way. So Ahab went to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. All right, so Ahab is still sort of a little bit fixated with just the natural. But then Elijah positions himself in the spirit. And in front of the guys there on the stage, I went down, and this is literally what Elijah did. Bible says he got down on his knees and he put his head. I don't know how far he went, but he put his head between his knees. And he was down. Rug, nie meer wat het was nie. 43, losmaak. Okay? But he humbled himself before God. And putting your head between your knees basically just means that he cuts off everything else. He doesn't see anything else around him, but he's heard a sound. And I believe, church, that the Lord is wanting us to enter into the dimension of the Spirit, of holding on to the promises of God. Say, God, I've heard something, maybe in one of those three sermons, either on the Marmite toast and hugs, or on Andre's sermons on healing, or on John Lawson coming and sharing his testimony. Something stirred in your heart. You heard something that dropped into your spirit, and you could see, I can hear the rain. I can see myself testifying. I can see people coming to salvation. I can see myself praying for those who are ill. Or I can see myself opening up my home. I can hear it. It's not too clear, but I can hear it. Have you wrestled with God about what you heard? Have you tapped into the Spirit? Have you said, God, I'm going to give birth to this? Because this is what Elijah was doing there. He was giving birth to the purposes of God. He was giving birth to the rain. And he's focused and he's cutting out what he's seeing all around him. But he says to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And the servant goes and he looks and he says, there is nothing. There ain't nobody getting saved, nobody getting healed, nobody sharing, nothing, nada, zip, nothing is happening. And Elijah says, go again, seven times. Seven times. Have any of you responded to the word that God has given? You invited somebody over for lunch and they said, ish, I'm too busy. Or you invited yourself and they said they're too busy. Oops, you know, it could sometimes backfire on you a little bit. Or you invited somebody to church, gave them a book and they said, nah, that's not for them. The Christian thing is not for them. Or you prayed for somebody and they got worse. Those things happen. You go out, you hear the sound. The prophet says it. You go up, you look, and there's absolutely nothing. But we heard the word this morning. Somebody brought it. Until. Our God is a God of untils. Until the rain comes, until the rain comes, until the rain comes, will we be faithful to tap into the Spirit and to pray until the rain comes? Until the salvations break through, until the healings break through, until the authentic, extravagant love breaks through. And we're seeing it, we see that the taps have been opened, but I believe there's much more that God has for us. But in order for that to happen, we're going to need Elijahs. We're going to need those who are going to get together in the Spirit. Now, I'm so encouraged by so many of our men. I know the ladies have been doing it for a while as well. Guys getting together outside of formal intercession. I want to encourage you again, 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, please come and pray with us. Let's trust God for miracles to take place in this room. But there's so many of you partnering with one another, praying on a Friday morning, two or three or four of you as men. Please continue to do that. And if you don't have that, get somebody to pray with you and say, I've heard this. This is what I've heard. I've heard that God wants to do this through my business. I've heard that God wants to do this through my marriage. But I know that right now I'm not seeing it. I need somebody to help me pray this through. Because this is the amazing thing. Elijah couldn't do this without his servant. He had to have his servant to go and look. And then he prayed and the servant went and he prayed and the servant went and he prayed until the breakthrough came. None of us can do it by ourselves. I'm just so aware of it. When I went up to pray, when we came back from Otsu and I shared some of the testimonies, and one guy jokingly said, the next Angus. And I said, I definitely know it's not that. This isn't a one-man thing. I don't want the pressure on me in any case. None of us has the key by ourselves. Elijah needed his servant. The servant needed Elijah. None of us has the key by ourselves. And so we spoke about the keys this morning. I want to say to you prophetically by the Spirit of God that some of you guys are looking for keys and you will not find it unless you start getting into agreement and relationship with your brothers. The key sits with somebody else. If you would push in and press in and make the sacrifice early in the morning or late at night or at work even, the key lies with somebody else. Tap in. Resist the spirit of isolation. The seventh time he said, behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea. And that is what we've begun to sense. We've seen that cloud that's coming. It's arising. And I want us to come into agreement that the rain, the 5 millimeters of rain that fell on Thursday, there's more rain that they predicted for tomorrow and for Tuesday. But we're going to trust God for mighty rains to come for Otsuwa. And amen. That the Lord is going to continue to bless the faith of the people there. But he also told me to tell them that this is just the beginning. That those guys, those churches that came together, they need to continue to come together in smaller groups and pray. Because there's an entering into the softness of heart that God has for them. Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot. Go down, lest the rain stop you. And I'm wanting to say to some of you, prepare your chariot. And prepare your chariot for the anointing that God has upon your life. And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And here's something amazing, that because Elijah was in the presence of God, because he was pushing in and holding on to God, God came and supernaturally endowed him, empowered him to go further than what he could go in the natural. Being on that farm, seeing the tremendous creativity the Lord has given those, the potgieters who love the Lord dearly, and the great children of God, to see them diversify, to see them make money out of stuff that you wouldn't believe is possible. I was so aware again of the fact that the anointing isn't limited to a pulpit. The anointing of God is very practical. The wisdom of God is very practical. And God is wanting his people to flourish even in the midst of dry circumstances. But there's rain coming. But we've got to prepare our hearts. We've got to say, God, I want to be positioned. I want to be positioned to be where you want me to be, at the right place at the right time. And so my questions to us this morning, and I'm done, is do you have partners in the rain? Do you have guys partnering with you for the rain, the promise that the Lord has given you? Do you have somebody that you can go to and you guys can say, man, we want to pray through this business idea. We want to pray through this. Should we go into BE partnership with this person or that person? How are we going to break through the constraints we have? How are we going to trust God for grace to flow into our families? Do you have somebody that's partnering with you? You cannot afford not to have a prayer partner. It's not a title. It's not a function even. It's a heart thing. You cannot afford to be isolated at this stage. God is wanting to pour out the rain upon us. And what are you hearing? Talk to your prayer partner about that. What are you hearing? Are you opening up your ears for the word of God, or are there some other voices, some stereotypes, some boxes? Challenge those boxes. Challenge those boxes. You know, just on the from our personal journey, you know, I refuse stereotypes attached to the community where I come from. I refuse. I said, don't label me. Don't box me in. I have my front two teeth. You know, don't box me in. Don't put a label on me. I refuse to be labeled. Don't label me. In the spirit, we have... Please find it funny because it's a joke. In the spirit, we have to be aggressive. And you have, I will not allow the devil, the lies, when you drive back home, that wants to come against you, I will not allow anything to bombard my ears, because this is where the battle lies. We hear the word of God on a Sunday, and then the accusations come. Then the stereotypes come. You're too thin, you're too black, you're too white, you're too rich, you're too poor, you know too little, you know too much, you do too much, you do too little, take your pick. Refuse it. Focus on hearing what God is wanting you to hear. Hear the sound of the abundance of rain. What are you seeing? What's before your eyes? And if you don't see anything, trust God. Say, God, show me what you're wanting to see in me. Are you ready for the rain? Is your heart positioned? In other words, are you in relationship? Are you in relationship? I believe it's not coincidental that the physical blessing and the physical blessing of the mealies and the physical blessing of the rain came together with a spiritual blessing that happened on Thursday and Friday. I believe God is wanting to say to us that the spiritual rain is pouring out is going to coincide with lots of physical blessing as well. And some of you in this room, you've got, I just have this picture of Shilohs. It's just amazing incubators in your heart. Stuff the Lord has given you that is for the destiny and the healing of communities and of nations and of families. You've got to bring them before God again. Stop thinking so small. Bring those things before God. Say, God, I want the mealies. I want the mealies. I want to be an agent that will distribute what you have for me. And I want to ask you guys that you would pray for Nikki and myself. If he has here, can come. You don't know, but we're going for the next 3 weeks. We'll be away, going to the churches in the UK, in Germany, and in Holland. And I want to pray that you as the congregation would pray for us. Because I know that we don't have time to just go as tourists. We're going to leave our kids behind for 3 weeks. It's not fun. Leaving your kids behind is not easy. And we need to be effective. So I want to ask that you as a congregation, that you would send us, that you would pray for us, that we will take the sound of rain where we need to go, that we will deliver what God wants us to deliver. So I want to ask that we stand. I'm going to be a little bit selfish. I know that we cannot do this on our own. That's why the rain thing was such a blessing to me. There's no way we could have done it on our own. And so I want to ask that we'll leave you in the safe hands of Pastor Anton and Christelle and the rest of the elders. And I want to ask that a couple of you would come, pray for us. The rest of you would stretch out your hands towards us. Remember, you can alternate the hands. I know, you know, one shoulder gets weak. You can use the other one. But you would just come and pray a blessing over us. And maybe some of you guys can pray here at the front, and the rest of you can pray for us. The Lord will send the rain where we go. We go to our congregations in the congregation in the UK. We've been through a tough time. Hercules and Milani, they're over there. We're going to go and bless them. Got a group in Germany considering praying about becoming a shofar church. And then we've got a group, Bergian and Renee in Holland. And we cannot do this without you. And we need your prayers. And so I want to ask that you would pray for us.
I'm just reminded, like 2 years ago, one morning we prayed for Heinrich and the Lord gave me a word for them, and that is that he and Nikki will be involved as bridge builders between communities. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, that the promises you make, Lord, is you are keeping those promises. And Lord, that thank you, Lord, that you use them, Lord, to be builders in new communities, Lord. Between all races, Lord, between all cultures, and that wherever they go, also in London, Lord, that they also go with this blessing, Lord, of not being boxed in, Lord, but being your bridge builders, Lord. And thank you, Lord, by your Spirit, you can cross all boundaries, and it's only by your Spirit, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that we can pray, Lord, that your Spirit will be before them, Lord, and they will just be behind, in the name of Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for the rain that happened in Oudtshoorn and the spiritual rain that came upon that town. And Lord, we know it's not a coincidence. And so, Father, we thank you for the tangible signs of your faithfulness, the fact that you're always with us. And so we now commission Heinrich and Nikki and bless them and send them out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to go and fulfill what you've sent them to do in both UK and Germany and in Netherlands. Lord, we pray that your purposes for this trip be established, but Lord, we pray that your rain and your blessings, spiritual rains, will fall in each of those nations. And whenever they minister, that your word will be in their mouth with power and that signs and wonders will follow. In Jesus' name. Lord, that your word, we thank you that we can know that your word will not return void, and that as they go forth, Lord, you will accomplish the tasks set out for this mission. Lord, at the same time, we pray for their protection, for your blessing to be upon them, and that this will be a joyful trip, not a burden, but a joy, in Jesus' name.
Father God, thank you that this couple, Father, isn't just a pastor couple, Father, but they are a family, Father God. And thank you that we can just pray this morning for our family, and that they can know, Father, that we will look after the kids while they are gone, Father, and we are here for them. They've got our support, Father, and I just pray that they will go away with this, Father, with that foundation of support, Father God, that they will not feel alone, and that they will not feel that they are leaving something behind, but that they will really feel that they are going forward, Father God. I pray your protection over them where they go, Father God, and that you will really just bless them in Jesus' name.
Father, we ask that you would make Heinrich and Nikki one. You have made them one already, Lord, when you joined them together in holy matrimony, Father, but for your purposes in this season, we ask that you would unite them. Unite their hearts, Lord, with each other and to you, so that they may fear you. And the reverence of your fear, Father, will send forth your fire, and they will just follow and flow in that. Thank you, Father, for the hedge of protection. Thank you, Father, for your comfort. Thank you, Father, for clarity. Father, we cancel every assignment of the enemy against them to destroy their unity. And Father, because they are together, therein, Lord, you will command the blessing. I just want to share this word I heard when you shared with about Oudtshoorn. I heard the word mixed blood, and I wasn't quite sure what that was, but what I believe, Heinrich and Nikki, what the Lord is saying, showing me, is for this time and this season, he is mixed. It takes a person, a servant of mixed blood, for this season, his blood and your blood. His blood carries it all. It has paid the price, but he takes our blood as well. And he's grafted us in. He's grafted you in, Heinrich, as a son. He's grafted you in, Nikki, as a daughter. But it's that the strength lies in that, in his blood mixed with our blood. May you be mighty in what God wants you to do.
Father God, we just thank you for this amazing, beautiful couple that you've blessed us with these past few years, Lord. And it's just been such a privilege for us as a congregation just to watch them grow and flourish, and just to watch, just to come near your spirit through them, Lord, because your spirit is so evident in them, Lord. And we just surrender them to you now, Lord. We send them off with our blessing. And we ask, Father, that your hand will be upon them and that you will just continue to work in and through them wherever they go, wherever they walk, Lord, as Peter, that when people come near them, Lord, they are just touched by your spirit, that your spirit will just be so powerful in them, Lord, that people won't see Heinrich or Nikki, Lord, but that they will just see you, Lord, that they will just come in touch with you, Father. So yes, they are going as your vessels, they are going as your messengers, Father, but we just pray that you will work through them now and that you will just lead them and guide them wherever they go and that you will speak to them, Lord. And yes, that it will not be work, it will be rest in you because they will be so surrendered to you, Lord, that they will come back rejuvenated, they will come back rested, knowing that they've been in your presence the whole way, Father. And we just bring the children before you now as well. And we just pray for their hearts. We pray for Heinrich and Nikki's hearts that the longing and the missing will not be too bad, Father, but that you will keep them secure, that you will comfort them, Lord, and that you will protect them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And Heinrich, I'm just reminded when God gives us a command to do something, he only asks us obedience. He doesn't ask our skill. He doesn't ask anything else. And in fact, when he spoke to Petrus, Petrus could walk on the water, Peter. Peter walked on the water just because God said, come to me. And that allowed him to walk on the water. And you only need to go. And when you do that, God will enable you to do what you need to do. So Lord, we just come and we just pray your strength and your courage and your peace over Heinrich and Nikki. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for their obedience because that is all that you ask. We thank you, Lord, that you go ahead of them and that you prepare the way, Lord, and that you will bless your work that you have called them to do. And we thank you, Lord, and then we send them with you, Lord. We send them to this journey that they're going to take, and we bless them, Lord, and we pray your protection and your anointing over them in the name of Jesus.
Bye-bye, Dankiele. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you that we can be part of family. And we want to invite anyone that needs prayer, that we would love to pray with you if there's anything physically, emotionally, if you need a touch from God, if you maybe have wondered a little bit from him, we would love to pray with you. And also, thank you for sharing, Nikki and myself, with the rest of the Shofar family. Shofar Summers of the West, just want to thank you for that. Thank you for allowing us to be away. So we'll be leaving on Wednesday morning, and then we'll be back on the 13th of September. So thank you for your prayers, and once again, thank you for allowing us to do what the Lord has called us to do. We're going to be praying for you, and I know, like I said, we're leaving you in the safe hands of the elders and Pastor Anton and Christelle back here. So let's, if you can still spare a minute, let's pray for Oudtshoorn. Let's pray the Lord will bless them, send the rain in abundance. But let's pray the Lord will continue to turn hearts in that community towards one another and bless the town with revival. And then I want to bless you to have an amazing Sunday. Let me just pray for you. And so then you guys can go when you're done praying. Father, thank you, Lord, for making us, Lord, part of your plan. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to do life together, Lord, to live together, to love together. Lord, to journey together, to experience you together, Father. Thank you for our collective stories in this place, Lord. Thank you that you are faithful. Lord, I pray for those of us here, Lord, who are wondering and doubting whether you really love them, who might be thinking whether your love and your grace is big enough to cover them, Father, where they are right now. I pray for the knowledge, Jesus, that you are busy doing something amazing, that you can make all things new. There's nothing beyond redemption. There's nothing beyond what the healing touch of Jesus cannot redeem. Father, thank you that I can commit this congregation into your hands, and while we're away, we know that you are building your church. We thank you for your covering over each one. Thank you for your presence, Lord, in this venue. Thank you for your presence amongst us as we get together to fellowship. Thank you for the amazing people that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for their love. Thank you, Lord, for their love for Nikki and myself, not just as pastors, but as friends, Lord. And thank you for their love for our kids, Lord. Thank you for their love for one another. Thank you that they are here planted as living stones and that you have kept them, Father, also for times such as this for us to grow together. Lord, we bless our prayers now in faith, Lord, that you will answer our prayers. We pray for Oudtshoorn, and you will continue to touch the farms, touch the community, Lord, fill the dams, Lord, and bless them with revival, Lord, with reconciliation between different church denominations, reconciliation between classes and races, Lord, and may you make your church there one. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray for one another, and also one specifically, and the Lord bless you. You have an amazing, amazing Sunday, and sorry for making you cry, okay, but it's good tears. Love you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.